So I'm very glad that Jennifer Cecil is here to come and share with us. Jennifer drove down from South LA to be here, and she's going to give us the teaching on Be an Example of Faith. And she is part of an after-hours ministry on the streets of LA, very much like Lilias Trotter. And also, many of these women of faith that we've studied would reach out to the prostitutes. And that is part of Jennifer's story. So Jennifer, would you come up? Would you welcome her, please?
Good morning. It's such a blessing to be here. I know Jasmine Allnut through her parents, Debbie and Marshall. I had the privilege of serving with them in Siegen, Germany at the Bible College over there. And they just received me as one of their own, and they're just such a blessing to be a part of their family and get to know Jasmine, and now to be here with you. And thank you so much for sharing about those women. Their stories are so inspiring to me. I love missionary biographies and read as many as I can get my hands on. They're so encouraging. Gladys Allward actually is kind of famous for a quote she said. She said, "I wasn't God's first choice for what I've done for China. I don't know who it was. It must have been a man, a well-educated man. I don't know what happened. Perhaps he died. Perhaps he wasn't willing, and God looked down and saw Gladys Allward. And God said, well, she's willing." And, you know, I don't necessarily agree with kind of her thought process on that, because I'm sure that God did pick her for what she did. She was willing. And I think sometimes that's really all we need to be. Are we willing? Are we willing to answer the call to what God has asked us to do? So I'm actually just going to pray one more time, and then we'll jump right in. Lord, thank you so much for your faithfulness, God. And thank you for loving us. Thank you for calling us your own. Jesus, we seek to glorify you here and now and with our whole lives, Lord. So we just pray that you would come and you would minister. Lord, that you would be the center. In Jesus' name, amen. Just even thinking about that quote from Gladys as well, in 2 Chronicles 16:9, it says that the eyes of the Lord go to and fro throughout the earth, looking for a heart who's for him, to show himself strong on their behalf. You know, when you think about it, we kind of think we have to be so strong. And I don't know about you, but I don't usually feel very strong. Kind of scary, the things that God asks us to do sometimes, and way outside of our comfort zone sometimes. And that's not what God's looking for. He's not looking for me to feel comfortable or to feel strong. He just wants my heart, and he just wants your heart. And when our hearts are for him, he's going to show himself strong on our behalf. And the verse that you guys have been going through this summer is in 1 Timothy, and I'm going to start reading in verse 11. So 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 11, and it says, "These things command and teach, let no one despise your youth, but be an example to the believers in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give attention to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given to you by prophecy with the laying on of hands of the eldership." You've been talking about these different aspects, and today we're talking about faith. And actually, when Jasmine asked me, which one do you want to speak on? I said, I have a feeling I'm going to really need a lot of faith this summer, so I'll take that one. And I had no idea. And you know, it's always that way. Whenever you kind of agree to share on something, God's going to teach you more of it. And God has definitely been stretching my faith this summer. It's been really good, but really, really challenging. I will tell you a little bit more about my story, but I want to kind of continue in Timothy's story for a second. Timothy has gifts that God has given him. This is clear in the passage. God has given him these gifts. And we know that he gives all of us gifts, right? We're all his children. Then we have gifts given by his Spirit. In Ephesians 4, we're told he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. And there's all sorts of different gifts that are talked about in the scriptures, and God gives each one different gifts. And we're told to be faithful with those gifts, just like Timothy was told to be faithful here. This idea of being an example of faith in this verse is really an idea of faithfulness. Be faithful with what God has given you. Just as Timothy was asked to be faithful, we're asked to be faithful. We also read in 2 Timothy chapter 1, where did his faith come from? It talks about his grandmother and his mother and how they were strong women of the faith. And Paul's writing and he says to him, I'm sure that just like they were strong women, genuine in their faith, that you are of the faith. And just that's such an encouragement for us as women. You may be moms, you may be grandmothers, you may be spiritual mothers, aunts. You have a role, you have some sense of maybe authority or influence in others' lives. And faith is really passed on. And I always think of my grandma and grandpa, my dad's parents. My grandpa was this really tall guy and just a huge smile and loved the Lord. And I remember him just picking me up and throwing me in the air. And he just was so strong. And he just loved Jesus. And passed away when I was little. I was 4, and my grandma kind of had to take on that role for the family, and she became, that spiritual leader for our family. And as a child, I didn't know the Lord, and didn't have a ton of exposure to God's word or things of the faith. And but my grandmother, every year for Christmas or my birthday or whatever it was, would send me a Bible or a Christian book or a Christian tape. I don't know. I was like, no, not another one. And, just kind of stacked them in the closet because it's, it's a gift. I don't want to throw it away. But I had just had no interest. I wanted clothes and Barbies and I don't know what. She was so faithful. My grandma was so faithful. The most important thing to her was that I knew Jesus as my Savior. It wasn't that I thought she was cool or hip and I wanted to spend time with her, over anybody else. It was important to her that I knew Jesus. She wanted to pass on, if anything, not cute clothes or Barbie dolls, but faith. She wanted to pass on faith, and she did. When I gave my life to the Lord, I went to my grandma and I said, Grandma, I know you've been praying. I know you've been praying, and God has answered. And so some of you, you're praying. You're praying for those in your life who you seek to pass on that faith to. And so be faithful in that and continue. And even if they reject your Bible year after year or, whatever it is, be faithful to what God has asked you to do and to passing on that faith to them, just as Timothy's mother and grandmother were for him. So just like Timothy as well, he's given each of us faith. And we're going to talk a little bit more about that later, where faith comes from. And he's called us for his purposes. You may have heard God specifically say something to you about what his purposes are in your life. And they may change. They may change for season to season. But he will show you and he will direct you. But do you believe that? Do you believe that he has plans and purposes for your life specifically? Do you believe that he is able to bring them to pass? Do you believe that he knows you intimately? He knows your heart. He knows your desires. He knows what you're capable of, how much you can handle. So ask yourself these questions. Do you believe those things about who God is? I love this quote. It's Jim Elliot, and he says, Is it not, for all its sting, a wonderful way to live, Betty? To dream and want and pray almost savagely, then to commit and wait and see him pile all dreams aside and replace them with what we could not dream, the realized will. And I love that because as a child, I had dreams. I was going to be a doctor and a pediatrician and have a nice home and a family. And not that some of those things aren't still my dreams, but wow, has God far outdone my dreams. And so as I kind of purposed to dream with him and to seek him, he just took some of those things, pushed them aside, and said, watch what I'm going to do. Just watch what I'm going to do. So part of my story, you heard I lead a ministry. It's a street ministry to women in prostitution. And the burden really came 11 years ago. And 11 years ago, I was in college. And don't do any math. And it was really just growing in my walk with the Lord and getting to know him and what it meant for him to be not just my Savior, but my Lord. And, you know, taking my dreams and placing them in his hands. And I was really burdened for broken women, especially women who are broken sexually, especially women in prostitution. Now, I have never been a prostitute, praise God, and I really didn't have any personal experience to relate to this burden. I did have sort of some friends who had experienced some things and felt, I guess, the normal, that feeling of kind of being objectified, especially in the college world. And God just sort of used these events and people and mostly his word to break my heart and to break my heart for women in prostitution. And I remember lying on my bedroom floor and reading in the book of Isaiah and weeping and being just broken for these women and thinking, God, this is crazy. This is so crazy. I don't know any prostitutes. I don't know where to find one. If I did, I don't think it would be very safe. I just think you've kind of lost it, and I don't really know what to do with this. And almost feeling frustrated. God, this is a joke. Why do I have to kind of feel this heavy burden and I can't do anything about it? And I knew there was something I could do. I could pray. And I thought, well, you know, maybe nobody is praying for these women and they are broken and they are lost and they're hurting. And I know that prayer is effective. And I know that God answers it and meets people in it. And so I began to pray for broken women. I didn't even really know how to pray. But God just sort of began to show me and to reveal his heart to me. And then I kind of just went on with life. I moved to Europe and I worked at the Bible college, and it would kind of go to the back of my mind, and then God would bring it back. I traveled around Europe a bit, and sometimes I was in Eastern Europe, different places, and I would see brothels. I would see this lifestyle that was so heavy on my heart. But then I really was frustrated because now I didn't even speak the language, and I was seeing, you know, this brokenness, and felt, God, I can do nothing about this. And I just knew that there was a purpose in it. He was calling me to pray, and I needed to be faithful. And so I just continued. I continued on in life. God would bring it back up. I would pray. I would ask him, if there's something you want me to do, show me. And I moved back to the States and went through a pretty rough season myself. I'll call that the preparation. I think a lot of times before we're really able to minister to those who are brokenhearted, we have to experience it ourselves. And God is so gracious. I think this may sound strange, but I think God will give you a broken heart just so that you can experience a deeper fellowship with Him. You can know Him more and love others like He does. And so I went through a season like that, and then I felt God say, "It's time." And I said, "Well, that's really interesting, God, because I still don't know what to do. I don't know where to go, and I don't know who to talk to." And so that's great. But there was actually a sense of peace about it, a sense of, okay, really, it is time. I don't know why and what we're doing, but it's time. And this great church had started. A lot of you have heard of it, I'm sure. It's called Reality. And I knew the pastors of Reality Carpinteria, and they had just started a church in Los Angeles. And I thought, if I had a church in Los Angeles, I would minister to prostitutes. And that, by the way, is not a normal thought, because most of the churches don't minister to prostitutes in Los Angeles, but it was a Holy Spirit thought. It was the Lord leading me. And so I went online, I looked up Reality LA. I'd never looked him up before. I didn't know the pastor, I didn't know anything. And on the front page of the website, it said, "After Hours Ministry, a ministry to pimps and prostitutes." And I just fell on the floor with just joy and excitement, and I can't believe this is real, it's happening. And it was like so easy. It took 7 years, but it was so easy. Wait faithfully in those things. When God places something on your heart, it may not be immediate, and you may have a preparation time and a time of prayer and a time of waiting. And from the time of weeping on my floor in college to the time of my first training class with After Hours, it was 7 years. And some people have waited a lot longer for things. And so you know those things that God has placed in your heart, and so trust Him with those. Jackie Pullinger, who was spoken of earlier, she said, "The opposite of patience is not impatience, but unbelief." And so do we believe God? Do we believe that He is who He says He is? And we're going to talk more about that later as well. Just to kind of finish up a little bit my testimony of this ministry before we jump in more here, but I've been serving with After Hours for about 4.5 years, and just learned so much my first couple of years, just taking it all in, and I don't think I spoke for an entire year. I was just learning. I really didn't know what would I say. How could I? I had nothing to say. But God just slowly began to teach me and to give me a greater understanding for these women and the lives that they were in, how they got there, why it was difficult for them to get out, how we could actually minister to them. And a year and a half ago, the leaders of the ministry stepped down from the ministry, and they handed everything over to me. And God just blows my mind. I never could have imagined, now 11 years ago, on the room of my apartment floor, on carpet I probably shouldn't have been laying on, who knows, but that God was going to do this, that this was what He had in mind. And I remember, about a month before they stepped down, I had no idea. I had no idea they were going to step down. I didn't know why. I didn't know anything. But the Lord very clearly spoke to my heart. I was in the middle of worship, and He said, "Get ready. You're going to take this." And I was like, "No, just what do you mean?" And just weeping. God, this is crazy. I don't know if I can do this. I don't know if I'm the right person for this. But I trust You, and I'm willing to walk. And just an encouragement, you know, we don't have to say yes to the whole picture because God doesn't usually give us that. We just do the next right thing, do the next thing that He's showing you, and He's going to just kind of take you step by step by step. If He showed us the whole picture, we'd all be running the other way. But step by step by step, and we just walk. We just walk hand in hand with our Father who's leading us. So we have this amazing ministry. We get to go out on the streets, and we make, it's really hard to see, I'm sure, for you, but we make these little gift bags, and actually some incredibly faithful women in my church make these little gift bags, and we offer them to the women, and then we seek to build relationships with them, to pray for them, and to let them know that if they need a resource to get out of the life that they're in, that we're here, and we're willing to walk with them through that. It's not simple. It's not easy. They're not running off the streets with us. It's a long process. We're sowing in, and we're believing God. We're believing that God is working, and that as He's called us and we're faithful, that He's faithful. And it's such a blessing. I have lots of Jackie Pullinger quotes today because I was so excited about her. But she said one time, I went up to a man and said, Jesus loves you. But I realized it didn't mean anything unless I did. And that's our heart too as we go out. I can say Jesus loves you, but if they're not seeing that demonstrated in a relationship, then what does it really mean? And so that's what we're trying to demonstrate for them. Because a lot of them, they kind of know the gospel. They could probably tell it to me better than I can tell it to them. But it's not real. It's not something that has taken root in their hearts and transformed them. And we believe by living that out in front of them, that it will transform their lives. So that's part of my story. I want you to think about your story. I want you to think about the desires God's placed in your heart, what He's burdened you for, what gifts He's given you. Right, remember Timothy, he was called to walk in faith, to be an example of faith with the gifts that God had given him. And so there, you all have gifts and talents. And a lot of people, they come to me and they, you know, when we talk about prostitution, we talk about human trafficking, and these are sort of hot topics these days. Everybody wants to know what they can do. And I kind of look back at them and say, I don't know, what can you do? Because you have your gifts and your talents that God has given you, and burdens in your heart that He's given you. And it may be for ministries like this, it may be for something totally different. And so I just encourage you to think about those things and to really sow into prayer and waiting on the Lord and trusting Him for those things. You might be thinking, I'm not good enough, I'm not smart enough, talented enough. And you're right. You aren't. None of us are. Everything that is in us that is good is because of Jesus. And the impact we're going to make on this world is because of Jesus. There's nothing special about me that makes me the girl who should be going out on the streets to talk to women in prostitution. It's faithfulness, it's willingness, and just knowing who Christ is. So don't let that stop you. So, you know, trust the Lord with who He's made you to be. And the most important story of this all, right, is not my story or your story, but God's story. And we're all wrapped up in the middle of that. God's story is a story of redemption, of true love, of faith. All of our lives are intertwined in this beautiful tapestry of time with purpose and value for the coming kingdom of God. And one of the verses that we kind of stand on for our ministry is in Isaiah 61. And it says, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has appointed me to bring good news to the poor. He sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to grant to those who mourn in Zion, to give them a beautiful headdress instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the garment of praise instead of a faint spirit, that they may be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified." Right? And that's God's story. That's who he is. That's what he's come for. To bind up the brokenhearted, to set the captives free, and to make beauty from ashes. And we're a part of that story. If we know him, if we're his children, we get to willingly partner in the story with him and bringing others into the kingdom and seeing them walk in the fullness of life. Jackie Pollinger also said, "I banked my life on a miracle." And I think about, you know, just the fact that we're in this room right now with breath in our lungs is a miracle. And don't get caught up in kind of looking for the grand things. The fact that we have a relationship with Christ is a miracle, right? We have this ongoing, life-giving relationship with our Lord and Savior, our Creator. And that's miraculous. And so when we stand on that, everything becomes miraculous. Be looking for just kind of those simple, everyday miracles. So I want to talk a little bit about what faith is and then where faith comes from. So what faith is... few verses. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. We've heard this verse a lot. And this idea is, the primary idea of faith is trust. I trust that something is true. It's true and it's worthy of my trust. What does faith do? Let's think about what faith does. Well, faith gives us access to God. In Ephesians, it says that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. Okay, so through faith, Christ dwells in our hearts. Yeah, access to God. That you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, the Holy Spirit who's dwelling in us through faith, to him be the glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Exceedingly abundantly more than all we could ask or imagine. And so, you know, wherever kind of your heart and your mind are right now, you're dreaming and you're thinking of things, and he's going to give you more, which is amazing. Faith clothes us in righteousness. In Philippians chapter 3, it says, I count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith. Okay, so God's given us our faith, and through that, clothed us in righteousness. Something we can't do on our own, something we can't earn. But through our faith in him, we stand in righteousness before our Father. Faith enables us to stand. This verse is actually on your card today. Actually, several of these are. And it says, watch, stand fast in the faith. Be brave and strong. It enables us to stand, to be brave and to be strong. You're going to have trials and persecutions. The Bible promised that. And so you know that those are coming, and through your faith, you're able to stand. quenches the fiery darts of the evil one. As we're on that battlefield, as we're laboring in prayer for our loved ones, we're stepping out in faith into what he's called us to do, the fiery darts of the evil one will come. But they're quenched by faith. Okay, we remember who our God is. Remember what he said, what he's done. They give us understanding. Hebrews 11:3 says, by faith we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. Faith pleases God. Hebrews 11:6, without faith it is impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. Faith helps us obey God when the way is unclear. In Hebrews 11:8, it talks about Abraham, who was called to go out not knowing where he was going. And I think a lot of us has probably experienced that. God has said, go, but that's all he said. He said, just one step at a time. He gave us just enough light for the step we're on. And it's only through faith we're going to be able to take that step. Because we want to know. We want to know, right? We want to see that, like, wait, is it okay out there? You know, when it's just dark and cloudy and murky, that's scary. I want to know that I'm going to have all that I need and everything's going to be okay. And that comes back to faith. Faith in who our God is. Faith that we can trust him. Remember, that primary definition of faith is an idea of trust. Placing my trust that what he says is true. That he is who he says he is. If you get a chance later, read Hebrews chapter 11. We can't get enough of that chapter. It's called the Hall of Faith and just talks about all these great men and women of faith throughout biblical history. And it says that through faith, kingdoms were subdued. We obtained righteousness. We obtained promises. It stopped the mouths of lions. All these incredible, miraculous things through faith. Here's one I love. Faith rescues others. In Matthew chapter 9, there's a story of a paralytic. And he's his four friends are carrying him on his bed. I'm sure you've heard the story. They're carrying him on his bed, and they bring him to Jesus. And he says to them, it says, Then behold, they brought to him a paralytic lying on a bed. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, son, be of good cheer, your sins are forgiven. And that's so key right there. Jesus saw their faith. Do you consider how your faith impacts those around you and their walk with Christ? Do you have faith for those who you love, who you're called to? So often I pray for the women that we minister to. I pray that they would be great, that they would have great faith, because I recognize it's going to take that for them to make steps towards freedom. But perhaps I need to be praying for my own faith to increase on their behalf, that I would have faith to believe that God is able and willing to pull them out of the depths and draw them unconditionally unto himself, into the fullness of his grace and his mercy. One other missionary had written, Lord, I ask that you would increase my faith, that I would really believe all things are possible with God, with no buts. And I love that. Because we put those in there, right? All things are possible, but, or except. And it, that's not what it says. All things are possible. And so would we consider how our faith affects those who are around us? And lastly, I want to talk about where our faith comes from. My identity in Christ is tied to my faith. To the extent that I believe that God, or what God says about who he is and who I am in him, I will walk by faith. We read in Isaiah 43 several different things that God has said. He says to us, fear not, I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. You are mine. You are precious in my sight. You have been honored, and I have loved you. Everyone who is called by my name, whom I have created for my glory, I have formed him. Yes, I have made him. You are my witnesses, says the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen. And you may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God formed, nor shall there be after me. And so when we know the things that God says about us, about who we are, that we're his daughters, that we're his beloved, and when we know what he says about himself, the promises that he's given us, the hope in the future that we do have in him, we're able to walk by faith. So the extent that we believe that is the extent that we'll walk out our faith. And there may be places where you're struggling to believe those things. Areas where you're of brokenness, of insecurity, and where you need to come to the Lord and ask him to mend those places. That you would believe what is true, that you would walk in what is true. That you would not believe the lies of the enemy, that you would not stay in past failure. You would allow God to heal you fully and to bring you into the fullness of the calling he has for you. And you would know who you are, that you are precious in his sight, and that you would know who he is, that he is God. There is no other God. In 2 Corinthians 5:7, it says we walk by faith and not by sight. And my sister is one of my best friends in the world, and I adore her. And she has 4 kids, and her youngest is 9 months. His name is Noah, and I get to see him today, which is really exciting. And he's just the most precious baby on the planet. And I know some of you will disagree. You think yours are, but sorry. But I was watching them a few weeks ago. We were swimming at a pool, and my sister took him in the pool. And, you know, he's 9 months, and he's in his little swimmy diaper and his little shirt, and it's adorable. And she's got him in the pool, and, you know, he can't swim. He can't do anything. He's a baby. He can smile and giggle and be cute. And she's got him in the pool, and she takes him, and she just starts spinning him around and splashing him. And he is just overjoyed, just laughing and giggling. And I'm thinking, she could drop him. But he has no thought of the potential dangers around him. He has no thought that if mommy lets go, I can't swim. He fully trusts her. He fully trusts her. And he, in that moment where there is danger all around him, he is overjoyed. Just to be in that moment with her and to be experiencing that thrill, right, of just being spun around. And I just thought, wow, Lord, that we would have that faith with you, that we would see you that way, that we would just rest in you and trust in you and just walk in that joy as you you see. You know, God sees and he knows everything that's around us. There's nothing that's going to come to us that he has not purposed or allowed to pass through his hand. And so you can trust him and you can walk with joy through whatever circumstance you're in. 2 Corinthians 2:14 says, "Now thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ, and through us diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place." He always leads us in triumph. You can trust where God is leading you. You can trust that he's good and that he loves you. And you can just rest in that and give him thanks. Psalm 123:2 says, "So our eyes look to our God until he has mercy on us." God is a God of mercy. God of grace. He longs to be merciful to you. That we would just look to him, that we would just put our trust in him. In whatever circumstance you're in, God will show you mercy. Whatever your path, he will lead you in triumph in Christ. How great is our rest when we trust in these words. So whatever makes you anxious, whatever seems too big for you to handle, whatever tempts you, trust him. He is God, he is a sovereign Lord, and there is nothing that is too hard for him, not even you. Rest easy with a faith in the living God who has conquered death, who has bought you with his blood and restored you to fellowship with him. Don't lose the miracle of that, that he laid down his life for you, that he restored you fully. Trust in that. He always leads us. Whether we're following or not is another question, but he always leads us. And he leads us in triumph. So that we would trust and we believe that he is with us, that as his word says, he will never leave or forsake us. His word is true and his word is trustworthy. Put your hope in God and in him alone. So faith, our faith is actually given to us by God. It's not something that we can muster up or create somewhere. Romans 12:3 says, "For I say through the grace given to me to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith." And so we just walk in humility, knowing that the faith that we have to live this life comes from our Creator. Jesus is the author and finisher of our faith, so he's given it to us, but he's also going to walk it out with us, and he's going to walk it to the end. For by grace you've been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So faith comes from the Lord, and he's given it to us, and he's given it to us so we might be faithful. And he's given us other gifts and callings and talents and dreams. And he prepared them beforehand, before the foundations of the earth, that we would walk in them. Faith has to be nourished with God's word. Charles Spurgeon said, "Half our fears arise from neglect of the Bible." We have to nourish our faith with God's word. God did not give us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. And that grows as we get to know him in his word. We know his word. We know who he is. What he has said, what he has done, and what he purposes to do. Corrie ten Boom said, "Faith sees the invisible, believes the unbelievable, and receives the impossible." Faith sees the invisible, believes the unbelievable, and receives the impossible. Now, all things are possible with God. God can take a barely adult young girl sitting on the floor of her apartment and put in her heart to minister to women in prostitution and bring it to pass, and bring it to pass far beyond what I could have imagined or asked for. God can pull us out of the depths of our sin. God can heal and restore. Whatever it is, whatever that place of faith is for you today. Maybe it's placing your faith in Jesus for the first time and trusting who he is. And the primary definition is trust. That is trustworthy. He is trustworthy. Maybe God is calling you to something and you need faith to take that first step or that next step, you can trust him. When you can't trust yourself, you can trust him. You may waver, and you may doubt, and you may fear, and you may go through all these human emotions that you have, but God will not. And you can rest in him, and you can trust him, and he will do what he has purposed to do. Charles Kingsley said, I do not want to merely possess a faith. I want a faith that possesses me. You have been given a measure of faith, a faith that has saved you, a faith that I pray when exercised through great temptation, through trial, or call to adventure, will completely possess you. Let's pray. God, thank you for who you are. Thank you for your steadfastness, Jesus, and your word, and that you are true and you are trustworthy. And Lord, where we are doubting, we ask that you would come and you would stand us on sure ground, Lord, the sure ground of your word, of your spirit. Lord, thank you, God, for giving us your spirit, for dwelling within us. Lord, help us to place our trust in you today and to walk by faith and not by sight. Lord, I thank you for each one here, God, and you know our hearts and you know where we're at and those places where we need to trust you. We need to walk by faith. And so we ask that we would know who we are in you, Jesus, and we would know who you are. And because of that, we would walk by faith, God. Lord, we just pray that the work that you've done today, you would seal, God, that you would bring fruit and fruit that will last, Lord. Continue to reveal yourself to us, Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you that we can know you and that we can walk in this relationship with you, the miracle of this relationship, God. We just give you glory. We give you honor. Pray that you would just bless each one here today, each one who's listening online, Lord God. I just thank you, God, because you know our hearts, and you know those things you're calling us to. So help us to be faithful, God, to be an example of faith to the believers. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.